we're going to spend on Yoni Amuna, you know, at the beginning of this month, and it's still we're still talking about Avram Avinu. Akedas Yitzchak, there's a lot on the agenda. I think we spoke about the Akedah a little bit maybe last year. I don't remember. Tonight we're going to talk about different aspects than we've spoken about in the past 2 weeks when we spoke about what's included in Emuna and some strategies. Today we're going to talk about strengthening our Emuna by opening our eyes and opening our minds. And that'll be today's discussion. And really five ideas. That's tonight's discussion. Next week we'll get into other different inyanim relating to our lives. So you have two sources in this packet, just two of the sources that overlap with last week, the first and the third. But we'll see from there. You guys want the air on? That's fine. Okay. So the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvos. In the first mitzvah rishona, hu atzivui asher tzivanu laha min ha'elokus. As we said, a mitzvah of emuna, you know, we can't talk about it enough. Recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and maybe, you know, maybe just personally, over the past few months, for the 8 months, maybe you yourself could also relate, I found myself thinking about these things more than ever before in my life. Maybe when, you know, you feel you're so out of, not in control of your life, and the world is not in control of their lives, and you have to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who wins any election, right? It doesn't matter what election it is. Lev Malachim Biad Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, so we have to do Arish Tavlis in whatever we think is right in any election in the world. It could be for a student council, it could be for president, it could be for a prime minister, it could be anything. But ultimately, after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. But Emunah is just something that we have to live with, and maybe the more challenging our life becomes, the more we have to reignite the fire inside of us and the focus of in our life. So the Rambam tells us in Mitzvah Aleph, Mitzvah Rishona, Tzivo Yeshet Tzivana Laha Min Alokus, Shenamin Sheisham Eila V'Siba V'Upa L'Chol Anemsos. Hashem's in charge. Hashem's in charge of the world. We recognize his existence, and we recognize that he is always with us. The first Ramah in all of our Achayim quotes the Rambam and the Mar Nevuchim. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says in source number 2, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Right, we place Hashem in front of us, who klal gadol batorah u'malos ha-tzadikim, asher hochon lefnei elokim. Before any halacha, the first thing the Ramah says, the first thing Ramoshe Yisrael says is, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Just parenthetically, the fact that we have a Ramah is an unbelievable Musar lesson. What does that mean? If you look in the Hakdam of the Darkei Moshe, you might have heard this before, the Ramah writes that when he was writing his Sefer on Shulchan Aruch, it wasn't on Shulchan Aruch. He was writing his own Shulchan Aruch. He's sitting there in Poland, and he's writing his own Shulchan Aruch, and all of a sudden, he gets in the mail the new copy of the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Cairo, hot off the press, who's sitting in Tzfat. And he's like, uh-oh, now what do I do? I'm Ashkenazi, he's Sephardi. So there can be two Shulchan Aruchs. There can be the Sephardi Shulchan Aruch and the Ashkenazi Shulchan Aruch. That's one option that the Ramah says he had. But he said, and he had this amazing idea to write a Shulchan Aruch. And then all of a sudden somebody beat him to it, so he might say, tough luck! So I'm going to be the Ashkenazi Shulchan Aruch. And yet the Ramah says, I decided it's better for Am Yisrael to have one Shulchan Aruch. And I'm going to write my comments on his Shulchan Aruch. And that's why instead of writing his own, he wrote the Mapa. He wrote the tablecloth. That's what the Ramah's commentary officially is called. The Mapa, which is over the Shulchan Aruch. That is the that's an unbelievable act of humility. Whenever you see a Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, you have to say, wow. Right? That's tremendous covet for Rabbi Yosef Cairo and a tremendous act of humility. It's also, I mean, whenever there are hasagos, the Ravid always jumps on the Rambam. But the fact that he didn't write his own Sefer and just writes Hasagas on the Rambam shows what he feels about the Rambam. He didn't write his own Sefer. But the Ramah writes, whenever we have a Ramah, we always have to think about that Musar lesson the Ramah teaches us of Anava forevermore. It's going to be the Shulchan Aruch on the Ramah. It's not just going to be the Ramah. Right? And that's what the Ramah teaches us. And that was the good for the good of the nation. It starts with the Shulchan Aruch and the Mapa. And then we have all the Sfarim that are related to that Shulchan Aruch. Right, all the a number of the others. The Pa'as HaShulchan, That's where he saw Mishklov, a Talmud of the Gra, who wrote about all the halachas of mitzvahs of Tlias Baris. That's not in the Shulchan Aruch. The corner of the table. Pa'as HaShulchan. Right, all the related to the Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, so the Ramah says, Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Yisamid, Uklal Galda Batara, Umalas HaTzadikim, Ki Ein Yeshiva Sa'ad Mitznuosa, Vasaka V'levada B'beiso, Ki Yeshiva So, Mitznuosa, Vasaka V'levnead Melech Gadol. Remember, Hashem is always there. Hashem is always with us. Right, it doesn't matter if we're alone. I didn't give it to you, I think, in this packet, but there's a beautiful rendition where Soloveitchik writes that sometimes he's there late at night and he's working through a Tosfos and all of a sudden there's a light that comes into his mind. And all of a sudden he feels a warm hand on his shoulder urging him and encouraging him, and it's the hand of the Shekhinah. And it's with it. It's unbelievable how palpable HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was for Rav Soloveitchik. Halavai, we should have those moments at some point in our life. But he said he had it often during his experience. Hopefully we'll get back to that a little bit later. But that's what the Ramah says. All our life has to be lived with the realization of Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. And it relates to how we talk and how we act. V'chul. That's background. That was what we spoke about the past couple of weeks. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once said, we say at the end of davening, in this country we say it every day. In Chutz La'aretz they say it, you know, on Shabbos and Yontif. Ein kelokeinu. Ein kelokeinu, mi kelokeinu. Beautiful tefillah. And I just heard this week that we dafka say that right before Pitzma Ktores. Ktores, the Gemara says, and the Achronim say, is ma'ashir, brings riches. We always have to remember that we're not in charge of our riches. Ein kelokeinu. Right, the dafka by the Ketores, we say that. But either way, Rabbi Salanter says, shouldn't we ask the question first and then give the answer? First, you should say, Mikel Okeinu, who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then say, Enkel Okeinu. Why do you first say Enkel Okeinu? Says Rabbi Salanter, because when one researches their emunah, it's not a question and a searching for an answer. You have to start off with the answer. Enkel Okeinu. That's the yesod. I want to delve, to strengthen, to deepen, to feel it more. Fine, great, wonderful, beautiful. But it's not the type of search that if I don't get the answers that talk to me, then I'm going to give a no to the question. No, ein kelokeinu. And then we deepen that, mi kelokeinu, then we can deepen and ask the questions. So tonight what we're going to talk about is in that realm, deepening our emunah, not, you know, deciding. We're not deciding anything here. We're just deepening, and we're trying to appreciate and gain connection. Five things to think about, or things to look at, to strengthen and deepen our emunah. And any one of these might be something that we connect to, and each person probably here in the room will probably connect to different aspects and different points. Not everybody's built differently. Everybody connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently. I think we mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago maybe. I think we mentioned 2 weeks ago that the question of the Achronim, the Bnei Yisachar, asked this, why the whole story of how Avram recognized Hashem is not in the Torah. What is it to talk about how he recognized Hashem? The Midrashim, or the Rambam, he saw the star, the moon, and then the moon went down. And then the sun, and the sun went down. This morning I was jogging. It was really cool. I was thinking about the shir tonight. And then all of a sudden I was jogging about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I see the sun and the moon. They're out at the same time. In front of me was the moon. Sometimes you have mornings like that. You have to see the sun and the moon at the same time. I'm like, you can't say one's the god over the other. You can't do it. They're both out. So what, they're a team? Kodesh Baruch Hu's in charge. Kodesh Baruch Hu's in charge. But the... how did I get onto that? I got into running. I don't remember. Avram Avinu. Right, thank you. So Avram Avinu, why isn't that in the Torah, in the Torah Shebichsav? Why doesn't it say, you know, how he came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Mefarshim explained, I heard from Rav Rosenzweig many years ago, that because every Jew gets to Hashem differently, and to write one path in the Torah would be limiting, and as if saying that that's the path, the intellectual path, the path that you research and you come to it in philosophy. Not everybody has a brain like that. Some people come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in other ways. Emotionally, psychologically, through a shir, through a song, through an experience, through a yontif, through a Shabbos meal. There are so many different ways to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through the Kotel, right? So whatever it might be. So the Torah didn't want to limit that. So too here. We'll have five different points, but feel free to connect and to research any further ones if either, any of them connect to you, to connect to you more. Okay, start off with number one. Number one, looking around at the world is the first, quote, so to speak. I'm not going to call this proofs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we don't need proofs, but their strength, strengthening our emunah. So number one is looking at the world, looking around at the world, that itself we'll talk about in the future weeks. They would touch on Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and the different mitzvos, the other related mitzvos. But so we'll get to that, the Rambam there, but Rabbi Chanan already writes in source number three, Rashi Nisponi Bazen Imsa, Ki Emunah Shekadosh Baruch Hu Baris Ha'olam U'Muchrachas L'Chol Ben Das, Imra Yatsa Mechlal Shote. If we just think, if we have a thinking mind, if we have a brain, says Rabbi Chanan, you have to recognize it was a creator. The Ein Sarah Klal L'Shum Philosophia La'Zikas Ediazos, the Ilu Adar Amar Adam, skip two lines. Skip a line. Line five. V'teima beina echtala badas machshev azos. V'ilu amar adam megagal shamayim. Hamisgagal lahashko sada. You see a water mill. This is a quote from the Chovas HaLevavos. If I see a water mill, what am I going to think? Wow. The pieces of wood and the water and the, everything just happened. It all fell into place. Of course not. We mentioned this last week already. The more complicated something is, you know it was built. You see these plastic things with the wood. Right? They just appeared. Obviously, somebody built them. Somebody cut the wood and somebody put the staples in. So whenever you see anything, it's obvious. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to recognize that somebody built it. There's a bore. So to say that there's no bore is so, right, the smoother way, the logical recognition of the world. You just look around, obviously there's a bore. Hashgacha maybe is another step. But in terms of Briyas HaOlam, says Rabbi Chanan, "Halotirim yishafek adam dayo pitom al neir chalak." Yefshar sheyistar menu ksav mesudar. Let's say you pour ink on a paper. You're going to get a nice letter. You're going to get beautiful words. No, it's going to be a mess. If there's an explosion, if there's just a hit, a kick, what? That's going to create a beautiful mesudar life? It's impossible. It's impossible. Achrei shanu roam al kol psiyas simani chachma mukar in tachlis. The whole world. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see that the sun comes up and the moon comes up and the whole order of nature. It just happened. You see a car. Somebody just, you know, the car just fell into place. Eich ha-shalomar ha-mechona, on a machine. Nifla kazosh, shenasa ne'ele, b'li kavanas ha-maisa. The world itself is made on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where else and how else? It's also pointed out, also, I might have mentioned this last week. The greatest machines in the world, the greatest computers in the world have glitches. Sometimes they don't work. This is afternoon. I don't know, for some reason my computer at home, one of my kids was on it, they were trying to get on. The Google Chrome. You pressed it, nothing happened. Nothing happens. The internet was working, you checked the modem, you checked the this, you checked the that, you checked the wires, you checked the everything. I'm no expert. I just know, is the wire into the socket? That's as far as I could get. And then I have to call my other kids. I don't know what's wrong. I pressed. So you have the old restart. That always is a good try. Restart. Okay, it works. Okay. Hashem never had to restart the world. There's never been a glitch unless it was forecast beforehand. Right. Well, okay, the Mabul, but it wasn't a restart. There were people that stayed. Noach. They get rid of some people. But the world itself is mayid. I gave you that Rambam. We'll discuss it later in future weeks. The Rambam Nichols, you saw the Atahor. Just look around at the world. She is boning Adam. Source number four. B'shar she is boning Adam b'maisa. B'bura v'neflam ha'gadolim. V'yirabam chachmasa she'in la'erch locates. Right? Just to study biology. In the Hagdah, I mentioned the Pas HaShulchan before. We saw Mishklov, one of the star students of the Gra. Say, in the Hagdama of the Pas HaShulchan, there are many stories that we have about the Vilna Gaon. There are two major sources that we have. I think it was Rav Chaim Yivalazhin wrote the Hakdama to the Sifra Titzniusa, which is the Gra's commentary on the Zohar, and the Hakdama of Yisrael Mishklav, which is his Shulchan Aruch on the Mitzvot HaTluyos Baretz. We'll do some of that by the Shem next year during a Shemitah. So that's where he has that dhamma. He writes, my Rebbe used to put his feet in ice water in order not to fall asleep. And that's where I was once sitting with my Rebbe in a sukkah, and it was Besimcha, and there was somebody that came in who had been learning Hilchos Sukkah for a long time, and he came in and said, Rebbe, okay, I'm ready for a Bechina. Don't do that to the Gra. Right, I'm ready for a Bechina. So Gra's like, yeah? They're like, yeah. So he says, okay, how many sukkahs kshir madera mesecha sukkah? How many sukkahs psulam madera mesecha sukkah? How many times does it say the word sukkah male with a vav? How many times does it say the word sukkah chas without a vav? The number of times with a vav male are the exact same number of sukkah ksherim. And the same, he didn't come back for another bechina. But that story is there. He writes there, that, why am I saying this? The Pasuk Shulchan writes there that my Rebbe was a baki in every chachma in the world. Every wisdom in the world, because every wisdom connected to knowing Hashem. And he writes that my Rebbe knew botany. He knew all about the tzmachim. He knew about being a gardener, right? He knew, you know, all different music. Musica, handasa. And then he writes that he wanted to learn chachmas hanituach. Nituach means surgery. It means anatomy. He wanted to learn that. I first heard this story many years ago. Rav Schechter mentioned it. He wanted to go to medical school, but his father didn't let him. Why didn't his father let him? Because if he were going to Chachmas HaNituach, he would become the world expert doctor. He'd have to spend his life, he'd be in the situation then, you know, being a doctor, he'd have to spend his life healing people. He wouldn't be able to sit and be the grow. And that's why he didn't want him to get Chachmas HaNituach, but he didn't. He writes that he didn't. But he knew every other Chachma. Why? The grow was Kumo Torah. Because every Chachma brings you closer to Hashem. Every Chachma, every wisdom. Are you allowed to read a biology textbook Shabbos afternoon? Well, if it's for a test and you really don't enjoy it, probably not. But if you're reading biology because it brings you closer to Hashem, you see Niflo Sabore, I don't know, National Geographic or something so then those kind of pictures and beauty. So you think about the world. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an English sefer called Understanding Torah and Science, source number 5. It has become clear to many scientists that the universe appears as if it were specifically designed for the existence and well-being of man. V'chulu. Human life would not have been possible were it not for the occurrence in the past of a large number of highly improbable events. It just so happens that all these events happened. If the nuclear force were only a few percent weaker, I don't understand all the things he's going to say, there would be no solar fuel. As a result, the sun would not shine. It would merely be a cold ball of inert protons, precluding the possibility of life on Earth. Good. But if you look at the next one, that one I do understand. It was recently discovered, right, that there used to be water, Venus, Mars, but it all dried up and it all burned and it all froze. Earth somehow is exactly in the spot that we have the sun and we have the moon and we have water and we have seasons. And if the Earth was a tiny drop closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. And if the Earth was a tiny drop further from the sun, we'd all freeze. It just so happens that we're exactly on the proper orbit for 5,781 years. What a coincidence. I mean, just think about that detail. And that's not just Boreh, that's Mashgiach. Like, how does that continue to work? Right, you see in space these asteroids that get out of, you know, get out of sync. If something's like pulled in the wrong direction in space, forget it. Some of you were here last year. What was it called? The Breshit, right? Israel tried to land an unmanned thing, unmanned space, whatever you call it, on the moon. So it was like it got mamish almost to the finish line, almost to the finish line. Like the whole country was watching, and it was almost like the only seventh country in the world to ever get a thing even close to the moon, and then everybody's watching and calming down and he's trying to get down, and all of a sudden what happens? No more picture. Silence. Crash. Right? We got one little picture they had about the Israeli flag with the moon in the background. Really, the thing did a selfie, and it was great. But what do you see from there? You see that any little drop movement, boom! That's it! Your brakes don't work. And the Earth somehow stays on orbit. It's That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is screaming out at us. What do we say in davening? Tovim Ma'oro Shabar Elokeinu Yitzarim Bedas Mavinu Vaskel. We speak all about the Ma'oros. What's so important about the Ma'oros? We say every morning, Yotzer Ma'oros. Hashem created the Ma'oros. The first bracha talks all about nature. So what's all that about? Because we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the world. And that's point number one. Again, the more complicated something is, you see the moon, we quoted it, I think, a couple weeks ago, the toaster story, Yecheskel Levenstein. I'm not going to repeat that now, but that's number one. Number two. Second idea of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and this one specifically, I would say, applies to Am Yisrael. A few of these only apply to Am Yisrael. Number two. The Sefer Kuzari. Right, Rav Yehuda Halevi, the Chaver, who is the rabbi. We know the whole Sefer is a discussion of Judaism through a conversation. The king of the Khuzars asked Rav Yehuda Halevi about Judaism, and he harps on the point that the Aseret HaDibra starts off with Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoseisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Egypt. Why Dafka? The Ibn Ezra already asks on the Pasuk. Why does it say I took you out of Egypt and not I created the world? Why the focus on our hearts? Asher Hoseisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Sefer Kuzari mentions, as the other Mefarshim do, because it's something that we experience. And something that can't be denied, and something that happens in public. If you ever try to play the game of telephone many, many years ago, it never comes out even close to the original. Like, what? I didn't say that? Like, how did you? Like, you have six different people whisper like something, so by the come. Or even a story. Somebody tells a story, and then another rabbi uses a little poetic license to like expand and change some details. And then the next person, all of a sudden, it's about a different rabbi, about a different time period, about a different, you know, you fill in the blank. So many things change. How is it possible that our Mesorah has been transmitted down in a pristine and pure state? And it wasn't that anything happened in private. We are the only religion that started in public, right? The other religions in the world, Muhammad, Jesus, they had some private religion, vision, and that's it. Okay, one person can say whatever they want. Our religion started in front of 2 million people. 2 million people made something up. They had a plan. It's impossible. It's not just far-fetched. You can't have 2 million people make up a story and then pass it down to their children and their grandchildren. It's impossible. The Lubavitch Rebbe wrote in a letter in 1954. You don't have it, I have it. I'll read it to you. You can find it on Chabad.org. By way of illustration, if you are asked, how do you know there existed such a person as Rambam, author of Yad HaChazaka, Sefer HaMitzvahs, you would surely reply that you are certain about his existence from the books he had written. And although the Rambam lived some 800 years ago, his works now in print have been reprinted from earlier editions, and those from earlier ones still, uninterruptedly, going back to the very manuscript which Rambam wrote in his own hand. Which, by the way, last year, the Israel Museum had a Rambam exhibit. They had two Pirusha Mishnayos that the Rambam himself signed. It was under glass. It was unbelievable. You see the Rambam signature there. It starts shaking. That's the original. This is considered sufficient proof, even in the face of discrepancies or contradictions from one book of the Rambam to another. Different girsos, chilufei girsos, there's a mistake. How many chilufei girsos are there in the Rambam? 0.05%. How many different, some of them are significant. But that doesn't take away from the fact that everybody knows there was a Rambam. Because it's passed down from one to the other. Such contradictions do not demolish the above proof. In many cases, the authenticity of a historic event is based on the evidence of a limited group of people, even where there is room to suspect that the witnesses were not perhaps quite disinterested. At any rate, millions of Jews knew and still do that God is the author of Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. How did these millions of Jews know? And how did they know in the past that the Torah is true? Simply because they have it on the evidence of their fathers, millions of Jews that preceded them, and these in turn from their fathers, and so on and uninterruptedly back to the millions of Jews who witness Maimon Har Sinai. Such evidence cannot be disputed. Because this is our Masorah. And this is what we believe in. Just to add to this fact, Rabbi Jachter, in his Sefer Reason to Believe, a Rebbe in TABC, Rabbi Jachter writes, especially you know that Jews are not the nation that accepts anything at face value. I mean, we argue about everything. We are so non-acceptors. Right? You'll do read something, why is this? What kind of halacha is this? What is this? We are so argumentative. We can't accept anything. Everything. Akasha, Ateretz. Remember the Gemara in Bava Metzia? Peidalid, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. A tragic story. Reish Lakish dies because of something Rabbi Yochanan said. Ultimately, Gram, Rabbi Yochanan's looking for a new chavrusa. So they sent a blazer ben pedas. I don't remember which amoras they sent one. And every time Rabbi Yochanan gave a shir, he said, oh, I have 10 proofs. I'm making up the number. I have 10 proofs of what you said. Rabbi Yochanan's like, thanks a lot. You think I need your proofs? I said it. I know I'm right. Rabbi Reish Lakish, when I used to learn with Reish Lakish, my brother-in-law, my chavrusa, he used to ask me 24 questions on everything I said. And then we had to come up with 24 answers. And through that, Heichad Bar Lakisha, Heichad Bar, where are you, Reish Lakish? It's an unbelievable Gemara. But because we're at the kashas. And Dafka, this is the nation that the Misora has been passed down straight. It's got to be true. It's got to be true if we're not unaccepting of it. Number two, the idea of Misora. Number one, the world. Number two, Misora. Number three, this I'm sure you have heard, Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael itself. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Simen Aleph, in Nevardik, 120 years ago, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you know what the greatest raya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That we're still here. That we're still here. Va'anachnu b'nei Yisrael, api hazman, b'lo menucha, zekarov l'shnei apayim shana, 2,000 years. Chayav amanu ladash, shezeo hakol otov atinu l'zakech osanu. It's all part of the divine plan. How do you know it's part of the divine plan? Because it doesn't make sense that we're still here. It doesn't make sense that there are millions of Jews that are in Israel today, surrounded by billions of Arabs that would rather us not be here. Doesn't make sense that 3 years after a third of our nation was wiped out, that's when, after 2,000 years, we got independence politically for the first time in 2,000 years. It doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense. We're the most persecuted people. Everybody wants to get rid of us. And yet we're still here. Yes, individuals might have been lost, but the nation is still here. So every once in a while, we should think about, wow, I'm part of Am Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu is awesome. We're still here. We're still here. Every once in a while, we can think about that. And we have to recognize that. And we don't even only have this from Jewish sources. Right? A very much quoted amongst Jewish traditions, Mark Twain. Mark Twain, when he came to, he has a couple of famous paragraphs about the Jews. So this is from Harper Magazine in March 1898, in an article called Concerning the Jews. Mark Twain was not known for his love of the Jewish people. Samuel Clemens was his real name, right? So he says, if statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of. But he is heard of, has always been heard of. The Chulu, skip. The Egyptian, Babylonian, Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor. Greek, Rome, everybody. And where are they now? The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies. It's an unbelievable paragraph. No dulling of his alertness and aggressive mind. All things are mortal, but the Jew. This is Mark Twain. All other forces passed, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? So he didn't want to get to the punchline. What's the secret? I don't know. Right? What's the secret? You recognize it. I think I mentioned, And if we think about this, a couple years ago, I was in the British Museum, and I was sitting in this Parshas Bo, and I was in the room with all the Egyptian stuff, all the pharaohs, and I said to my Talmud, who was taking me around, I said, it's unbelievable. You see any Egyptians here? You see any Phoenicians in the Phoenician room? Or do you see any Persians in the Persian room? Or Romans in the Roman room? At least, they're all gone. All we have is they're in museums. They're all in museums. That's it. That's where the empire is. And Am Yisrael still around. And we're still around because we come to visit. We're not in the museum. So number three is Am Yisrael itself. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur, in the Hakdamah to the Beis Yaakov. If you've never gone through it, it's beautiful. You have to get the Hakdamah of the Beis Yaakov. Is Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddurs. He has about 50 pages. He's beautiful thoughts in the Hakdamah. So one of them, he says, the biggest miracle that ever took place in the history of the world is not Kriyas Yamsuf, is not Maamar Sinai, is not, it's that the Jews still exist. And that was 300 years ago. Number three. Number four, Rav Soloveitchik writes in Nisha Halacha, the greatest way to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to recognize and strengthen our emunah is through the Torah. Again, you have to be, one has to be on a certain level for this, or at least approach Torah in a certain way. But he says, we don't need any miracles. We don't need any outside extracurricular events. We just need to learn. And through the intricacies of lumdus, through the intricacies of the Word of God, that's what brings us close to Hashem and makes us recognize Him. Right? How do you never met somebody before? How do you know they exist? So you learn about them. Let's say you get a list of their 10 likes and dislikes. You start getting to know them. What if you start analyzing those likes and dislikes? How do they connect to each other? What if you get a list of 100 of likes and dislikes? 50 things they like, 50 things they dislike. What if you get a list of 613 likes and dislikes? You've never met them before, but you feel right at home with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the way that you get close to me is through my autobiography. The Torah is Hashem's autobiography. The Chafetz Chaim called the Torah a photograph of Hashem. That's how the Chafetz Chaim explained the three halachas, Sanhedrin Ayin Aleph, the three mitzvahs that might not have ever happened, according to certain opinions. Yoni Dachas, Ben Sora Mora, Bais HaMenuga. So maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but at least according to one opinion, that never happened. So why are they? What do we need them for? There's enough halacha. Drosh v'kabel schar. Learn, you get schar. What, there's not enough Torah to get schar from? We have to learn these three halachas. Bais HaMenuga, a house with saras. My life would not be the same without studying the laws of Bais HaMenuga. So the answer is, my life might be the same, but my connection with the Kaddish Baruch Hu wouldn't be the same. Because it's as if you take a picture and some of it's cut off. Some of it's missing. Now we're in the world of the olden days. You took a picture, you had to wait a month till you developed the film. Now you take a picture, everybody runs to the camera. They want to make sure they look good. They want to make sure that they're not cut off. Because if they're cut off, you're missing something. You got to do the picture again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole Torah, is a picture of Hashem. So if something's cut off, then we're missing something. Hashem comes out, Hashem's presence comes out through the Torah. Through the Torah. And through the magic of the Torah. Revolbi writes, we have Revolbi on Breishas and Shmos, right? Ali Shur, but we have, they put out his Torah, Shiurei Chumash, it's called, on Breishas and Shmos. So he talks about and we could appreciate this even especially now, the Torah was written how many years ago? Before the world was created. The Torah Shemal Petor Shemachsav was given Maamar Sinai. And yet, every single situation in life that comes up, the Torah has something to say about it. Electricity on Shabbos. Yeah, the Torah said something about it. You know, this, what to do with two people fighting for a respirator? Who gets it? Look, the Torah says something. Everything. There's nothing that the Torah doesn't talk about. What do you mean? How can the Torah talk about it? The Torah was written thousands of years ago. You ever try to look into any other, book that was written 100 years ago, let alone 5,000 years ago, and try to relate it to like what's today? You try to read a book from 100 years ago, like the English is like so hard. You try to read, before Art Scroll, I remember growing up with you start trying to do Chumash and Rashi, you have the Pentateuch. You have to get a dictionary for some of the English words. It's wonderful. It's amazing in its time. But now we're all like, you know, now it's like Hamish English. But then it's like, yeah, this is 5,000 years ago, and it's exactly applicable today. The principles, the words. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authorship. Anyway, Jack Durin, also in the Sefer in 13, he says, I think we mentioned this last week, and there are no amendments. We don't need to add anything. No amendments needed. The Chazon Ish's yard site was yesterday. Tesav Cheshvan. Chazon Ish points out, every yesod in Torah is found in the Tanaim. The Stimas HaMishnah, that's why Amoram can't argue on Tanaim. Because every yesod, according to the Chazon Ish, every yesod was already said in the days of the Tanaim. Every yesod that applies nowadays. What's the definition of every Av Malacha? We know that from thousands of years ago, and everything that applies today, sensors and writing on a computer, everything, we have the Yesodos. We need the Poskim to translate that. But we have to make sure that we recognize that ability. Whenever you read a tshuva, and you see how the Poskim relate Psukim and Gemaras to our situations, that should give us a, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Nevin Zal, has about 50 pages in a Sefer on Yom Kippur about Rav Shlomo Zalman. So he writes there, a woman came to Rav Shlomo Zalman. What happened? She went to the store to buy sugar. And in those days, they didn't have like things of sugar. They had these huge things, and there was salt and sugar. And the storekeeper measured it out for you and gave it to you, and you brought it home and you used it. So I went to buy, I went to buy salt, and by mistake, he gave me sugar. But it's not labeled or anything, so I took it and I put it into my chicken soup and it ruined my chicken soup. So he has to pay me. Fine, he has to pay me. I wanted to pay me for the whole chicken soup, not just the sugar. He ruined my chicken soup. And the storekeeper's like, I'm going to pay you for this. I'll pay you for the sugar. Where do you look? What's the question? So he went to Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says, Mefurish Gemara, first paragraph of Baba Kama. You can read the Gemara of Baba Kama. It doesn't say a word about sugar and salt. Bar HaMizgalgel. Shlomo Zalman says you put a knife in the street and then it moves. So this is a bar. He gave you sugar there, and then you were misgav. You read the Gemara, you see bar misgav. Shlomo Zalman sees salt and sugar in the Gemara. Because the Torah is alive and the sodos are there. We just have to apply it. Just one example. But that's number four. Number one, looking at the world. Number two, Misora. Number three, Am Yisrael. Number four, Torah. Number five. And this is special for our dar. Prophecies fulfilled. There's a whole book that I think Discovery or something put out a couple years ago, going through the various events over the past 150 years, 250 years. But the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Sadiches, Rabbi Abba, top of the last page, Ein lechal keis megula mizeh. You know what? You want to know when Mashiach's coming? When you see blossoms in Eretz Yisrael. The land is not going to produce fruit or blossoms until the Jews come back. Guess what? That's another line of Mark Twain, which I didn't give you. Mark Twain in the 1840s or whatever it was, he says, I'm traveling through Palestine. I have never seen such a desolate, disgusting, dry, arid land. Nothing's been like that. Nothing grew for thousands of years until the Jews started coming back in the 1860s, 1870s, and all of a sudden, it's unbelievable. You look outside, you see trees, you see flowers. That's Geula. That's a process. That's a fulfillment of Nevuahs. Nowadays, you can see it online. Right? There used to be, before we gave back Gush Katif, we had all the cities in Gush Katif. So they grew. They still grow now. They grew lettuce and vegetables in the sand. It's like impossible. Like, I have no idea how to do that. Unbelievable technology. What they do, so they had to take all the greenhouses, move it out. And now our cousins are trying to do the same thing. Guess what? Doesn't work. Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh. We see Am Yisrael on its way back. We see more Jews living in Eretz Yisrael today than in Chutz Laaretz. About the same, more, whatever it is, but it's just, we see Kibbutz Galios. We see, again, you can't pinpoint, Chas V'Shalom, we're not Nevi'im, we can't pinpoint. This Pasuk in Yeshayo is referring to this, and this Pasuk in Daniel is referring to this. That, we don't have Nevi'im, we can't do. But in general, seeing things happening, seeing the world recognizing, you know, Am Yisrael, that's something that also has to give us chizuk and recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is playing the hand on the scenes. So again, Ein Kel Elokeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. But every once in a while, we have to deepen and think about these things and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives and feel close to Him. Whether it's looking around at the world and the earth, whether it's looking about the Mesorah that, you know, millions of people saw it, still true. Number three, thinking about Am Yisrael in general. Right, we made it through the Holocaust, Rachmana Litzlan. It's like crazy. Unbelievable. I mean, that word is like an understatement of the, you know, you just you can't fathom. I can't fathom, right, 1945, what somebody, a Jew living in 1945, felt like, you know, in the DP camps, and 3 years later, right? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that often HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us some presence in order to help us survive. And Rabbi Yaakov says, Medina Yisrael was a present HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help Am Yisrael survive. Jewish identity needed a boost after the Holocaust. So seeing world events, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Am Yisrael is still here. Number three, the Torah, and finally Hakshamat HaNevuot, fulfillment of prophecies. You hear it, so that we always put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, and Beth Hashem, we should be zochet to always recognize Him throughout our daily lives. Okay, we'll stop. Oh, Ellie, I forgot to bring it. I think I got to save for you. I looked over there. Good. It's good. I have horrors, meaning it's a good.